Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to Inside Woo, a Do the Woo podcast show. Woo!
Woo! Welcome to another episode of Inside Woo. I'm your host, Jonathan Wold, and with me today is Bo Liebens, the head of engineering at WooCommerce. How are you, Bo?
I'm doing well, Jonathan. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you. And we have a lot to cover inside of WooCommerce. Before we get to that, though, for those who don't know, would you mind giving us just a bit of background on yourself? You've been at Automattic for, if I'm counting right, 15 years now?
Yeah, a little over. Yep.
A little over 15 years. And WooCommerce, you've been focused on WooCommerce for over 5 years now at this point, and you've worn a lot of different hats. Can you just give us some context for your work broadly at Automattic and what you've been focused on at Woo for the past 5+ years?
Sure thing. Yeah. So as you mentioned, been a little over 15 years with Automattic now. I came on originally as an engineer, just a 1Z, 2Z engineer person, and worked on a bunch of different parts of Automattic. I originally actually came on working, ironically, not directly on WordPress, the first few things. I actually worked on Intense Debate and then Gravatar, but then got deep into WordPress.com. Worked on Jetpack for a number of years and then came over to the Woo team, I guess it was 5.5 years ago, and joined originally on what was then the core engineering team with the eye towards being in this sort of engineering leadership role, helping to steer the future of WooCommerce in the WordPress space as someone who I'd actually worked in the WordPress world before joining Automattic as well. So really early on in the WordPress space. And so that's sort of always been my forte. And since coming onto Woo, have really helped, I guess, steer Woo alongside WordPress, which is something I believe we'll talk about, is sort of something we're still doing, is having Woo be kind of in lockstep with the evolution of WordPress itself, but then also steering it towards this whole sort of green space as far as the commerce world goes and what it looks like and what it means to be not just the sort of de facto commerce solution for WordPress, but being a real commerce ecosystem of its own.
So you've worn a lot of different hats. And with Automattic broadly, myself as a former automatician, there's a lot of flexibility and freedom that you have to pursue interests. So you have a lot of autonomy in what you do. So I'm a big fan of a wide range in experience. I think it makes you better at the work that you do. Are there any particular experiences that stand out to you from your 15 years that have especially helped shape the work, the experience and the approach that you take to the work that you do now in WooCommerce?
Definitely. Yeah. So as I mentioned, I sort of was working with WordPress before I even started at Automattic.
Yeah.
So I got involved with WordPress, very originally, just because it was an interesting new platform. You know, I was in the web space already and was building websites and doing all sorts of things that WordPress looked interesting for. But then what really got me deep into it was actually attempting a startup with a friend of mine, which, as many startups do, failed miserably. But the premise there was actually leveraging what was at the time WordPress MU.
Yes.
Which is now a multi-site feature, which is baked into core, and integrating with BB Press, which is sort of a bulletin board or forum system based on WordPress. And so it was taking those, mashing them together, and then completely changing the front end experience. So the user didn't actually know they were using WordPress or BB Press for that matter. So it was this really customized WordPress based system. And when I look back, that's actually something that has been a little bit of a thread and feels relevant now with the way that we look at WooCommerce, which is, yes, this thing is based on WordPress. Yes, it is WordPress powered. Yes, it brings WordPress's ability to manipulate and manage content to the forefront, but it's also something else. And it's leaning into that sort of leverage this operating system, if you like, and customize it towards a specific experience, in our case, commerce, and then doing everything that's possible with that power that comes under the hood. And so that's still something that we're still doing that today. You know, we are leveraging all of the power of WordPress's posts and users and settings management, all of this stuff that comes under the hood, all of that portability and flexibility that allows it to run on any web host, but we're applying that same approach to commerce.
I think that's part of what's always I found interesting about WooCommerce in particular is it's a such a great example of like an ecosystem within WordPress, right? And I think it's especially so because for most folks who are using WooCommerce, they have this clear business intention, this clear commercial intention. But the way that they got there can vary quite a bit. They could have started out in WordPress with a blog and suddenly like add commerce, and then that sort of takes off. And now you have this commerce business. There's people who came in just for WooCommerce. That was something that we saw, began to see early on in WooCommerce is people coming in to the ecosystem for Woo. So it's always sat at this unique intersection. And I think what I'm interested in hearing first is you have this evolution of WooCommerce starting out as a plugin that was gave you a lot out of the box from the outset and introduced this whole new range of capabilities to WordPress. And already from your perspective, when did like ecosystem thinking first come into WooCommerce? Like, was that driven by how people began to use it and what they demanded of it? What's your perspective as an observer first and then coming in to like where that thinking about WooCommerce from a plugin evolved to an ecosystem?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would actually just really quickly touch on that sort of mention of these overlapping ecosystems or communities between WordPress and WooCommerce, because I think that's the really fascinating one that there's a couple different ways you can look at it. And I often look at it, there's two specific ways I tend to look at it. One is if you try and Venn diagram those worlds, right? Like WooCommerce has huge overlap with WordPress, obviously, as a product and as a community and an ecosystem, but it's not 100%. So to your point, there's a certain slice of people, whether they're developers or the merchants themselves, who really aren't thinking about WordPress much at all. It's just there. It's the foundation of WooCommerce, but they're thinking of it as through a sort of WooCommerce first lens. And so that may be a merchant who just wants to set up a store.
Which I think is worth pointing out that's pretty unique in WordPress. Like oftentimes, like there's a lot of ecosystems, sub-ecosystems, forms are good examples. But with WooCommerce, I think you'll have people who really aren't thinking about the WordPress part, which is something a lot of people in WordPress may not be obvious unless you point it out.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's something that, especially if you're sort of steeped in this WordPress background, which I'll be the first to say I am myself, it's actually kind of hard to wrap your head around that reality and accept that, no, some of these people, they just heard about WooCommerce and they heard WooCommerce is how you put a store on the internet. And so they go looking for that and that's what they want. And then they sort of, as they unpeel the onion, if you like, they see, oh, there's this WordPress thing under here as well. And I have access to this whole other, what they think of as a whole other ecosystem of WordPress solutions and flexibility and everything else that comes.
Like, oh, I can have a blog as well. That's cool.
Right. Yeah. And I can add, you know, complicated forms to it and I can optimize my SEO, all these other things that come along with that WordPress world. They maybe didn't appreciate that they were getting that out of the box with WooCommerce. The other lens that I look at it, so first you've got that Venn diagram world. The other one is this sort of stacked platforms, if you like, where, you know, WordPress is very much a platform. It's a whole ecosystem. It's WordPress, the solution, and then all of the plugins and themes and everything that come with it. WooCommerce is kind of like, oh, add another core platform on top of that, and then another whole ecosystem of WooCommerce specific solutions. So we refer to them as extensions, but at a code level, they're really just WordPress plugins that rely on WooCommerce specifically. And there's a whole other world of them, which is sort of this next layer on this commerce solution, if you like. And so when you think about it as slices rather than a Venn diagram, we have basically everything that you have at the WooCommerce level, whether that's communities or meetups or plugins or any of the solutions that exist for WordPress. We have all of that at the WooCommerce layer as well. And so then that's a really interesting way of slicing it out. And then you can look at just what's happening at the WooCommerce level, but then also how does that interact with the layer below it? And so you end up in a pretty complex environment, but it's a really interesting one to work in.
So if you start, if you take its origins as a plugin, from your perspective, like, how do we get there? I like the layers idea. Yeah. What are the things that stand out to you? Yeah.
I actually think early on in WooCommerce's trajectory, if you like, there was kind of this acknowledgement that you can't build everything that you need for a commerce solution in a single plugin for WordPress. You know, it's hard enough to do as a complete standalone, entirely controlled SaaS service. Even in that environment, you can't build everything that you need to cater to every commerce solution all in one native package. You have to have this something of an ecosystem to provide all of the unique solutions that all of these different commerce scenarios require. So from day one, I think whether it was fully acknowledged or not, WooCommerce has sort of embraced this idea that it takes an ecosystem to provide all of these solutions. And what we've done over the years is really lean into that. And we've really said, like, yeah, that's core to how WooCommerce works. No matter how much we may or may not build into that core experience, you're always going to need the flexibility that WordPress and by extension WooCommerce provide. You're always going to need some extra workflow modification, or maybe you need, I don't know, a specific shipping carrier in a region that's not very big, whatever it may be. And so the way that we can provide that is that we, as Woo, and I use the distinction there, Woo, the company, rather than WooCommerce, the plugin, something that's really important to us is figuring out how to build an excellent experience, but retain this flexibility and extensibility so that developers and builders can customize and tailor it. And then I think one of the other big challenges for us is making sure that interoperability is there so that once you start putting together a solution, it still feels like a meaningful, singular commerce experience. And that exists both at that WooCommerce layer and that WordPress layer. And that's where it gets really interesting, frankly, and challenging. And where I think the direction that WordPress is going, which we can talk about if that's interesting, is really sort of enables a level of integration and flexibility that actually is not great at the moment in WordPress. WordPress has some, I think, like almost a lack of opinion that has been great for flexibility, but has resulted in some experiences that feel a bit disjointed and that aren't as deeply integrated as they could be.
I started writing about this concept of ecosystem plugins a number of years back, and WooCommerce was the one that really stood out to me. And when I think about this concept of an ecosystem like within WordPress, there were three characteristics that stood out. First, you have to introduce a suite of functionality, which WooCommerce clearly does, a whole new category, right? You also have to provide an integration layer that it can be extended. But the third thing, and I've felt from the beginning that WooCommerce, whether inadvertently or not, has done this better than most, is you also need to influence and shape that ecosystem, like taking an active role. Because I think a lot of the ecosystems we have in WordPress, up until more recently, it's been fairly hands-off. And I think in WooCommerce, there's a degree, at least from my perspective, to which just the demands of the growing business required active like curation. The partnerships team did a lot of work to help shape and influence what came into WooCommerce. But from your perspective, as you know, through your lens and the roles that you've played, and like from an engineering perspective, how do you think about the responsibility of WooCommerce, the business, to shape the ecosystem, especially when it's so large? Like, there's people use WooCommerce in so many different ways, and you're already beginning to allude to the importance of opinions there. But like, how do you think about that responsibility?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. It can be, as you said, it's really broad. And so people are doing all sorts of things with WooCommerce, some of which we would never imagine, right? And so it's very difficult to plan for that. We do take backwards compatibility really seriously, similar to how one of the things that I think is actually sort of fundamental to WordPress's success over the 20 years that it's existed is this commitment to backwards compatibility. And like, what does that look like? What does that mean? And frankly, it's something that as engineers and developers, it's easy to get really annoyed with and wish that we didn't have to do. And just wish that we could like move forward, change things, build the new shiny thing, build a new system, whatever. But I think that's fundamental to WordPress's success and WooCommerce's success. We do need to break it sometimes. There are some unavoidable situations where maybe it's a security fix or a specification change or whatever it might be, where we just can't figure out actually how to maintain backwards compatibility, or frankly, staying backwards compatible is not in everyone's best interest. And so we have to move things forward.
Let's talk about that specifically, because I think it is a really good example of where the tension, especially from an engineering perspective, lies. Because at least from my perspective, having worked with many engineers, you can kind of move on. You see better ways to do something. You see like, okay, there's this new set of practices that we want to bring in. This makes a lot of sense. And from an end user's perspective, oftentimes like it just doesn't matter. And if you look at like, I feel similar that WordPress's and WooCommerce success is in large part to the confidence and stability that comes from that, like people don't have to think about it because it's often just not breaking. So is there an example that stands out to you of where like you did the harder work? Because it's usually the much harder work to maintain the backwards compatibility. Because I think for builders listening, to me, this is an important part of success in the WordPress ecosystem is internalizing like why this compatibility, why the work matters. Is there any examples that stand out to you?
Yeah, I have a huge one, which is very relevant because we can talk about the past version and the future version of it. And that's H+, so high performance auto storage. This, for anyone who's not familiar, this is a pretty fundamental change where historically WooCommerce had stored all of its order information. So, you know, someone places an order on your website, you make a sale, that information was stored in the WP Posts table because that was the sort of most flexible place to store that data in a WordPress install where historically it was somewhat frowned upon to introduce your own custom tables, right? And so back in the day, WooCommerce was built as a plugin. It was intended to be installed on WordPress, spun up pretty quickly, and you could just go about your way, start taking orders. So H+ was this project to shift all of that data to a custom set of tables, which were optimized for storing large volumes of order data and for processing at high capacity. And the actual engineering work to just do that, like if we were just changing WooCommerce core, was done in about 2 months max. And that's with even sort of trying to allow for the fact that the way that we did it, the planning process, everything was very different because we were catering to an entire ecosystem. So we did this work, and then it took almost 2 years before that was actually the default on new WooCommerce installs. And that's because all of the work was really around the ecosystem and adoption and educating other developers and introducing systems to allow different plugins to declare compatibility or incompatibility, and how we handle all of those different combinations of things that are or are not compatible. That's where all the complexity came in. And that, frankly, is all about backwards compatibility, whether that's at the sort of user level or the code level. It's handling all of these different scenarios that exist in the WordPress world because you've got these different versions of things out there running, and you can't just update them all at once, right? Like we can't just go tell people you have to update WordPress, WooCommerce, and every plugin that you're running to X version, and they're all compatible, and then you're good. And so since we can't do that, we have to deal with this complexity. And so that's, people asked us, frankly, for years, why we hadn't done this. And it was because it's a huge, huge investment, not just for us. You know, we have to allow for 2 years on our roadmap to do something like this. But also in this case, this is a scenario where we couldn't maintain 100% backwards compatibility. We actually just like, we looked at it from every possible direction and we could not. And so we had to work with ecosystem developers and say, you know, here's all of these APIs that you should be using, which will actually provide better backwards compatibility in the future. And here's the declarations of compatibility. Here's all the things that you need to do
to help us make changes like this in the future.
Wow.
And I mentioned the future version of that, which is now that we've done that, the sort of immediate feedback we got was, okay, now do it for products.
Wow. Okay. Right. Right.
What does that look like? What have we learned from last time? Is there a way that we can do it faster this time, or at least put it in people's hands? Because one of the interesting things we learned, little tangent for a second there, was that we really optimized the HPOS rollout for merchants to be able to be confident that they could actually do this themselves.
Ah, okay.
And so it relied on them having information that, oh, everything on my WooCommerce install is compatible. I can opt into this thing. There's a UI that will handle the data migration, any syncing required. So the merchant could actually manage it themselves. And that introduced a lot of complexity. And what we heard from a lot of agencies and builders was that they would be happy to manage this on behalf of their customers, their merchants. If we had rolled it out sooner, you know, they tend to control what else is installed on this WooCommerce site. And so I think that's something we can probably do where we make the technical solution available sooner, very much with the caveat that agencies need to carefully manage this. This is not something that can just be clicked and opted into.
That's a great example, because I think instinctively it feels to me like it was the right approach to focus on the lowest common denominator of experience, which is the merchant, and also the most important in this case. So it takes that time. Yet if you can make it available to your builders, to the agency ecosystem sooner, then there's more winning that can happen. Like, they're able to successfully roll this out for their merchants, their clients, your merchants, and you can probably get a productive feedback loop that also gives confidence, that makes what you ultimately roll out to everyone more effective. And if I contrast this to other ecosystems, part of the problem is that they don't have that first focus. Like, I don't remember the details of it, but my sense of what happened with Magento, for instance, was this sort of big cut from one to the next. And there, from what I recall, there were developers who were quite happy about the changes and probably also the work that they'd have to be paid for to make the migration successful. But a lot of merchants end up being disenfranchised and just lost in the process. So you've done a good job from my perspective to remain merchant-centric in those decisions. And it sounds like you've recognized the role that your ecosystem can play in supporting that, and you can create a win for them as well in the process.
Yeah. That's definitely a learning for us. And I think also a challenge, and just something that we're still getting better at, is how to really engage with this developer ecosystem. You mentioned earlier that there's people out there building WooCommerce solutions, and we frankly just don't even know who most of them are.
Yeah.
That's both the beauty and the struggle of, I think, WordPress itself, but also WooCommerce, is that they're out there in the world. The code base is available. People can go build them and deploy them anywhere, and they may not interact with us in any way. And so it can be very difficult for us to communicate with that ecosystem of builders and developers. And it's something that I actually think we haven't done as good of a job as we should have the last few years. But I guess a few years ago, the last year plus, you may have seen we're much more active in out there, sort of in public now. That's a really conscious and intentional shift. We really want to engage with developers through GitHub, through our Slack community, through our developer blog. We've been putting a ton of work into tightening up and aggregating all of the, what was disparate documentation for our platform, bringing that all into a sort of single developer hub. And then also leaning into what are the tooling, and do we have CLI commands, and all of this stuff that we know developers actually prefer to work with. They shouldn't have to dig through the code to find out how to do something. We should have better documentation for that. So that's sort of a really foundational thing for us that we're investing a lot in. And we want that feedback loop with community developers who are building on top of WooCommerce, or they're building solutions for WooCommerce. Frankly, a lot of that has happened without us hearing about it. And so sometimes we get these kind of blow-ups of feedback where people get frustrated and say, like, why aren't you doing X? Like, oh, we actually hadn't heard that was such a big deal to you.
Right. So this is one of the things that's standing out to me in this is some of these problems, these challenges, we'll call them challenges that you're experiencing, are quite unique to open source. If we contrast this to like proprietary platforms, right? Like in a proprietary platform, you wouldn't have that, typically, you wouldn't have that like 2-year period.
Right. You just do it.
You just do it.
This approach is deprecated as of this year. We've upgraded everything.
You take care of it for them. And you also know your constraints, who's working in your platform more often than not. And if you don't, you can solve that a lot more readily. I'm curious, from your perspective, I guess I'm not asking about just like the benefits of it, because like we're in this open source ecosystem. And I think that's a big part of like why it's grown to where it is. It's like it's a key factor in all of this. But I guess, like, how do you think about the, you grew up in the WordPress space, and like, how do you think about that, the impact that the open source nature has, like the benefits and the trade-offs to WooCommerce? Because you started from a plugin, now you have an entire ecosystem that happens to be open source. It's quite unique and very commercial in its nature, and there's all these dynamics at play. And I think it's worth touching on that, because that's a single characteristic that has a lot of impact to what you're trying to work on.
Definitely. Yeah, it's an interesting and very difficult question to answer, because as you said, it seems like a relatively narrow question.
Right. It's just open source.
Yeah, it has so many implications. So I do think it is fundamental both to our previous success. So I think it is what got us here. And it poses some unique challenges in going forward. There are certain things that, especially in a commerce space, would be much, much easier to do if we controlled the full stack. If all of WooCommerce was hosted in a single environment and we could just deploy updates, or we could optimize certain things. Performance is a favorite topic, which is actually an area that we are investing in more this year. We mentioned HPOS. But there are a ton of different performance characteristics that when you control the whole system, you can just optimize for the way that system works, right? Whether it's, I don't know, adding an index in a database or optimizing a specific query or whatever it might be, adding a specific caching layer. We don't even know what people do with most WooCommerce stores. And so it makes it very, very difficult to optimize the performance profile of something that you don't know what it is. So that sort of thing can be really challenging. But I think what we're seeing is, over the years, there's a certain number of pretty consistent profiles that we see. For example, like people use WooCommerce in certain ways. And it's actually one of the beauties of being housed within Automattic, which has multiple hosting environments, is that we can just go look at real stores and see, how are they going? What are they doing? What software are they running? What performance bottlenecks do they ever run into? And then just working directly with them and improving it, and then bringing those improvements back to the rest of the platform.
It's such a unique challenge. Like, I remember when I worked at WooCommerce, one of the debates at the time was this: how does WooCommerce relate to the hosting ecosystem? And it's such a good example, because someone can have really low cost hosting on WordPress, which is great, and then wake up one day and decide to install WooCommerce and run WooCommerce and start to take orders. All of this can be happening in an environment that was not designed, intended for that, right? And that not necessarily going to be apparent to the user.
Right. Well, they have a bad experience potentially.
Yes.
And they think, it's WooCommerce's fault. And I think commerce and content are really interesting when married together, but they're also almost like opposed from a performance perspective.
Right. Caching versus not caching. Like, they're right, like
exactly,
right, yeah, out of the gate.
Right out of the gate, fundamental strategy for content, like performant content, is just cache everything. And basically it's a static website and like to the moon. And it's the opposite with commerce, is basically you have to not cache everything. There are definitely caching strategies that you can go down, but you probably can't just static cache everything. You probably have a very different profile of users coming back to your website. And so there's just fundamental differences there that really do require us to think about the way that we approach WooCommerce, as it's on WordPress, but it's also quite different from WordPress.
So then here comes the tension, right? Because from an engineering perspective, and especially if you didn't come up in the WordPress space, which is what part of why I think you're in such a unique thing, if you came from a proprietary ecosystem, the answer would be clear. Well, we need to control this, right? Like, we need to, like, let's not work deal with all these hosts out here. We need to control as much of this as possible. And you can argue, I think, successfully that from what's best for the merchant perspective, that's a fair line of reasoning, right? Like, let's give them a great experience. And hosting is a good example of an open source variable that can have a big impact. And, but yet, we have a lot, like, that's also a big part of why WooCommerce has grown as much as it has. You have this vast ecosystem, and it's, while it's much harder, I've been really happy to see WooCommerce take an approach over the past couple of years of working with the hosts and figuring out, okay, how do we support that? So how do you think about that? And I think for the merchant in particular, it's like, ideally, they wouldn't even have to care about this, right? But yet there is real world impact to that. So like, how do you, there's a lot there, but how do you think about that?
There's a lot there to unpack. Yeah. So I think it's really interesting that you're sort of bringing it from the merchant perspective, because we try and do that a lot. Ultimately, even though we know that builders and developers are involved with many WooCommerce deployments, ultimately it's a merchant who has to use the product. And so however we get there, we need to get to a good merchant experience. And frankly, something that we've seen over the years is that if you look back originally to the sort of WooCommerce early days, WooThemes days, and then all the way through, frankly, until now, the model for WooCommerce is you get WooCommerce and then you will definitely add all of these other solutions. You know, you'll add a payment gateway, a shipping carrier, a tax solution, probably, who knows, all sorts of things. Actually, fun fact, I think the number I've seen recently is like an average Woo store has something like 44 plugins.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're talking about a lot of extra stuff.
Yeah.
And so that was intentional. That was the approach, was give builders and merchants the flexibility to get this core and then plug in any solution that they need and mix and match to get exactly what they want. And what we've seen over the years is, I guess, two things. One, that introduces a level of sort of decision fatigue, discoverability, and complexity that people don't actually love. You know, no one really wants to manage a bunch of software. So there's this level of complexity that it introduces. And then the other one is, frankly, that the expectations of people on the internet have changed.
Yeah.
WooCommerce has been around for over a decade. Things have changed in that time. And so what we're seeing is we actually need, as the platform, as WooCommerce, we actually need to have a little bit stronger of an opinion on what good looks like. And so you will see us start to shift a little bit more towards, hey, if you don't have a preference or you don't have a specific need, you should just use this solution.
Stronger defaults.
Right. Stronger defaults, which is theoretically something that WordPress has always had, right? Is decisions, not options. This has been a mantra forever. And we've usually tried to do that at the technical level, but we haven't always done it at the sort of product experience level. And you'll see us do that a little bit more going forward. And that's directly based on feedback, where we've just heard, like, look, there's too many things to manage. There's too many choices to make. I actually don't want to do this. I just want to be told which ones work together. I want them to work really well. I want them to be integrated. If I'm using a specific payment solution, I want to get comprehensive payment reports and I want it to perfectly handle my taxes, whatever the combination may be. And when you're mixing and matching from the ground up, that level of interoperability can be pretty tricky to get right. So you'll see us do a little bit more of that, of saying like, hey, these solutions work together. We still want to maintain the option. If you don't want to use that, you still got the flexibility. That's the beauty of everything being open source and extensible. But if you go that route, then obviously you're taking all of that into your own hands. And now you need to figure out, do they work together as well as they could? Which is, frankly, is how things are right now. And that's part of the value that builders provide in the equation, is putting together a package of solutions and then making sure that they work well together.
So you guys just recently launched the business services category. And to me, that was a good, I was happy to see that. It was a good example of, at least from an outside perspective, is this continued evolution to taking a more like holistic view of the things that merchants need, right? Like if you're a merchant and you're having any kind of success, there's a whole series of additional things you are going to need at some point, right? And I think I'd love to hear more from you on anything that stands out to you in that evolution to like the impact of thinking more holistically, of thinking about better decisions, not options, of thinking about that the end user experience. How is that affecting what you prioritize in terms of like developing new features and introducing new things like the business services category?
Yeah, that's a great one. So I guess just to touch on that briefly for anyone who's not familiar with it, I guess a few months ago now, introduced the business services tab within our marketplace. And this is basically where you go as a merchant to find sort of WooCommerce adjacent services. So the idea is they don't necessarily need a technology integration. They may not be part of your website or part of your like baked in business workflow, but you need them to run a business. And I think this sort of breaking out of the idea of WooCommerce is just a plugin to, no, for a lot of people, WooCommerce represents their business. Like it is the sort of hub, how they run their livelihood. And so what can we do to help them do that? You know, what are all the other pieces that are relevant when running a business? And how do we connect people to those solutions? You know, I think previously we just relied on, I guess, developers to either do that or for a business owner to engage with a developer and a tax professional or an accountant or whoever, and for them to just figure it out themselves. And if we're in a world where we're trying to enable merchants to get up and running and get going, then the more we can do to help them, the better. So that's really where that's coming from.
I like that a lot. You know, one thing I want to touch on, so I think WooCommerce and WordPress, especially being an automatic, there's always been a unique interplay between what's happening in core in WordPress and what's happening in WooCommerce. I remember WooCommerce was doing early work on blocks, and there was an alignment of interest there, I think, because it was an automatic that might not have been there otherwise. It was a lot of work to try and figure out, like, how do we do this? And I remember some of the early, at least from my perspective, there was a lot of pioneering work that was done in Woo on improving user interfaces and experiences that also had a positive impact on the work that was happening in core. So, like, how do you think about the interplay? Like, WooCommerce to me is the largest and most impactful sub-ecosystem of WordPress. And that can be something that can be lost at times. Like, how do you think about the relationship between what's happening in WooCommerce versus what's happening in WordPress? Like, how does WooCommerce, from an engineering perspective, think about what's happening in the project and where WordPress itself is evolving?
Yeah, I think you're spot on with the sort of reality that if WooCommerce wasn't within Automattic, things might be a little different here. And that would impact both WooCommerce and WordPress. The work that you're referring to, you know, investing early in blocks and thinking about what's happening in WordPress core, very much still happening. Actually, a perfect example of that, a couple of examples of that, actually. The product editor that you've seen us working on, if you're watching the sort of things that are feature flagged and available, if you jump into the right spot, that's undergone a couple of really major changes. And there's probably still another one coming, which is part of why we haven't pushed that out as any sort of default experience for the majority of users. And that's because it's evolving alongside what's happening in WordPress. And frankly, WordPress itself, you know, is still figuring out a lot of things related to full site editing, to data views, to all these like new components and new UX patterns and things. And so we're right there with them. We're actually working alongside core Gutenberg teams and really bringing to them, hey, we have this complex experience that's critical for commerce that you haven't considered yet. Let's work together and solve for that. Actually, a kind of random good example. We're having a conversation at the moment around, should data views, so these are effectively the replacement for WP list table, should they support drag and drop? You know, on the surface, you'd say, sure, yeah, absolutely. But there's a lot of scenarios where it breaks. You know, if you've got a sort or a filter applied and you change the order, what happens now? So there's a bunch of things like that where the fact that we sort of represent commerce, we represent a lot of really complex user interactions and a certain way of interacting with what is technically WordPress, which WordPress focus purely on content may not be taking into account. And so what I like to think is that WooCommerce is basically sort of one of the most complex applications of anything that WordPress could come up with. And so if the WordPress platform can support that, it can support almost anything.
I like that example a lot. And I think one of the strengths, it's a double-edged sword. One of the strengths is that interplay of content and commerce that like, and merchants see, right? Like they love the idea of being able to create content, which is often like key to the marketing, the sales side of a commerce business. And it's easy to take for granted. That's not just trivial in these other platforms, right? Like they tend to be, okay, this is commerce and maybe there's some light content layer. So there's a lot of complexity that comes with that because they're not the same. Yet they have a clear relationship with each other, but the needs in commerce, it's a different workflow, different expectations, different problem set, the caching versus non-caching. So it seems like it's a lot more work to do that and to stay with that. As we're nearing the end, what I'd love to touch on is like you see that work firsthand. And I think that's increasingly appreciated for those who've been in the space for a while and been following. It can be frustrating that things don't happen quickly. At the same time, I think people who are paying attention can also see that care and consideration and thinking long term is also part of what you'd want in like a steward of the ecosystem. So what are, as for the builders who are listening and they're looking to the future of WooCommerce, what are some of the things that you would be encouraging builders to be thinking about? Where should they be focusing some of their energy and efforts? Let's start with the agency folks first. For folks who are building for merchants, they have clients, whether freelancers or agencies, what are some of the things that you recommend that they be thinking about in context of where you see the platform going?
Great question. Yeah. So I think, you know, we talked about sort of blocks and the future of WordPress and where WordPress is going. So I'd say part of it would be understand that as much as you can, you know, especially for bigger agencies. I think they tend to be better connected to what is happening with WordPress. So understand that and be looking at what does this mean for the sites that I'm building, especially on the back end. So in the admin experience, things are shifting towards blocks, towards this new WP admin design is sort of coming slowly down the pike, the full site editor. So thinking about how that all applies to the type of work that you do, and looking at which solutions are you picking? So which extensions or plugins are you choosing to build new sites on, especially? Are they compatible with this future? I would frankly be like really thinking about that at this point. If they're not, and you're not the developer of that solution, like start working with that developer to understand how they can make it compatible with that future. Start engaging with us. And this, like I said before, we really are out there trying to engage more directly with developers and agencies because we want to hear what is happening out there. I think people actually forget that agencies are often the agencies and solo developers. They're actually often the sort of frontline that's really understanding the reality of applying software like WordPress or WooCommerce in a way that we frankly may not understand because we're building the software and they're applying it in certain scenarios. So getting that real world feedback loop of, hey, how are you using it? What problems are you running into? Are there limitations we can remove? Are there things that we're not doing that we should be doing or whatever? Really closing that feedback loop with us is the biggest thing. And I mentioned earlier, I think we have a community Slack channel. That's a great spot to start. We have a developer blog, which is just developer.woocommerce.com. There's a developer specific newsletter on there now, which I would strongly recommend anyone building for WooCommerce is on that. And then we've started using GitHub discussions pretty actively as well. So I'd suggest jump in there. You'll see like RFCs for major changes that we're looking at doing, things like that. We need real feedback from people who are like, frankly, outside of that cycle of Gutenberg development. And I use Gutenberg there loosely just to refer to the whole roadmap. But yeah, like real world uses of WooCommerce, we want to hear about them. And I guess I would say this sounds a little matrixy, but like open your mind a little bit. We've heard feedback from builders specifically or developers who like don't necessarily want change. That they know how to build for the current system. They want it to stay the same. We need to change to stay up with WordPress. Like WooCommerce and WordPress are inexplicably tied together.
Yeah.
That's not going to change. So we're going to stay deeply integrated with WordPress. We believe that's actually the thing that makes us unique in the market and which gives us the sort of strength and flexibility and the reach of WordPress itself. So we fully intend to stay integrated with WordPress. And that means that the future is going in a certain direction. So I would encourage everyone to understand that direction and come along with us.
I like that a lot. The business services category launch, I think, is a good illustration of what I'm observing in the market, which is a growing interest on from products to play in the WooCommerce space, right? More product companies are coming in. They're seeing the opportunity. They're seeing the size of the ecosystem. And they're like, that's been an important part for a long time now. People building extensions, and you're seeing bigger and bigger companies come in. There's a full partnerships team at WooCommerce. For the products, for the people listening who are building products for the WooCommerce ecosystem, what guidance do you have to offer them? How would you encourage them to be thinking about the evolution of WooCommerce as a platform, as an ecosystem, and what should they be paying attention to?
Yeah, that's a good one. So I think, as you said, there's a lot of people trying to enter the WooCommerce market, if you like. And for us, we're in this weird spot. We've talked a lot about ecosystem thinking and the community and working with developers and builders. And that is the strength of what we're doing. But frankly, if we're to remain running as a business, we also need to commercialize certain parts of it. We need to be part of the money that's flowing through this ecosystem so that we can continue funding the development of what we're doing. So I mentioned there's a few sort of central commerce experiences that we're investing heavily in. I'd say like off the sort of top line list of that is like payments, shipping, taxes. These are areas that you're going to see us invest in heavily. And you've already seen us probably building WooPayments. We also recently relaunched WooCommerce Shipping. So these are areas that we know that it's critical for merchants to have a great experience. And we believe that the best experience is one that's going to be deeply integrated with WooCommerce. So there are plenty of other solutions for payments and shipping in particular, where it's a plugin and then you go use some other dashboard to manage that part of your business. And we fundamentally believe that there is at least a certain audience who want that all in WP-Admin. They want an integrated experience. They want to be able to bounce between different parts. I mentioned earlier, like payments and taxes, let's say. You could imagine that actually extending to all three. So if you're taking a payment that includes taxes, that covers shipping, you want to be able to understand all of that in the performance of your business. And if that's spread out across multiple systems, that can be really difficult. So I'd say we'll be investing more heavily in those areas, which is not to say that other people shouldn't, but I guess know that we will be playing in those spaces a lot.
So for someone who is coming into the space, you just made that point of the importance of the integrated experience. If they're new, like how would you encourage them to be thinking about that? Like for instance, in the business services category, you introduced banking, for instance, and unless your intention is to get into banking, which you know, who knows, but it's like for someone who's in the banking space and coming in, how would you be encouraging them to be thinking about things like that? Should it be integrated? There's not existing precedent, right? Like it could be outside the space. They go to a separate dashboard. How would you think about that example?
Yeah, banking is an interesting one because obviously that's a really complicated space.
Right. But also fundamental to commerce.
Fundamental to commerce, pretty connected to payments, interestingly. So it is an area that we're sort of touching on. But I would say in general, like what we would love to see more of is people who are really thinking about WooCommerce as a whole complex system and how can they build something that's part of that complex system rather than I represent banking. I want to just make my banking visible is like the sort of first step, but actually building it in some sort of integrated way is really where we see things succeed more. So I mentioned that the business services tab is largely for things that really probably won't integrate deeply, or they're sort of somewhat separate or somewhat adjacent to the website itself. There may be some crossover. So actually, like, banking is maybe a good one. We probably could and probably will have more integrated flows and a better, like, seamless handoff between your WooCommerce store and whatever that banking solution is. But we're probably not going to, for example, replicate your entire banking website and banking experience all within WooCommerce. And then business services, just as a specific example, I think is also really interesting for connecting things like developers. And this is an interesting sort of crossover, is one of the services you may need as a business is a developer to customize your business website.
Right, right.
So I think there's an interesting crossover there, which we've just started exploring, of opening up the ability for merchants to get access to various forms of technical support, to use a loose term there, as part of running their business.
Well, I'm excited. There's a lot to the ecosystem. And I think this is why you coming on episodes like this are especially helpful, to, from my perspective, to give a broader sense of what's going on behind the scenes. And I really appreciate you taking the time to share. I think we've given folks a lot of things to think about and work with. If someone wants to reach out to you, Bo, what's the best way to get in contact?
The best way is probably tweet at me, or I guess X at me, however you say that now. Yeah, you can get me on there. It's just at Bo Liebens, which I'm sure we can put it in the show notes or something for the spelling. Or frankly, you can also just email me, bo@automatic.com.
Excellent. Bo, thank you for the time. Thank you for the work that you and the team have been doing. And talk to you soon.
Yeah. Thanks, Jonathan. Appreciate it. It's been fun.